Thank God that His love will never fail nor lose its glory as we want to glorify and honor the God of heaven and His Son, whom He sent to die on the cross for our sins. We hope and pray that each and every one has their mind set on things above, that we can focus on the words of eternal life and to be able to put the cares of this world over our minds. We're encouraged by each and every one's presence this evening as we think about the love of God, studying the hymns, number 636 in our book course, Jude verse 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus." We're studying, of course, in the book of Jude, and that'll be one of the passages we study this Wednesday night. Lorene Highfield is the one who had written this hymn, and didn't have really background information on that, didn't study on that, but written in 1916. As you focus upon the words, it reads in the first stanza, "Since the love of God is shed, priceless blessings on my head, I have made it my own. I will hide it in my heart that it never may depart. It shall rule there alone." Some beautiful words as we think about it and consider the scriptures this evening. In Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Romans 5 and verse 6. This is one of my Bibles that doesn't have the... Okay, here's the page. All right, the scripture reads, "While we are still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have now received the reconciliation. As we consider when we are lost in our and dying in our sins, when we were rebelling against God, maybe when we are profaning His name and doing ungodly things against God and His Son, while we are yet sinners, that Christ died for our sins. You think about the innumerable blessings we've studied about, count your many blessings recently, and you think about the priceless blessings on my head. There used to be the commercial concerning these things, and this is a priceless thing. It's a beautiful thing. There is nothing that anyone should be able to give you or me that would cause us to turn away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us. It doesn't matter, millions and billions of dollars give us anything that we want, because it's all going to perish. In 1 Peter chapter 1, when we recognize what we have been purchased by, in 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter says by inspiration, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing this, that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." We recognize concerning all the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. But the whole thing is, you look upon the application of the song. And it's wonderful as you think about God has done that, and He loved us and sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. But have we made it our own? How do we make the love of God our own? How do we make that our own? And it's out there here as you think about this precious possession and inheritance. I have made it my own. Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? You will keep my commandments. And so here He has given His commandments. When we obey the Lord, obviously we haven't earned what He has so graciously given by His mercy and holding back the punishment that we deserve. As we look upon the Word of God and His love in our hearts, will we hide it in our heart? You might immediately remember Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Very likely the author is thinking of this passage in Psalm 119 and verse 9 through 11. The psalmist says by inspiration, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." The whole thing is, as you look upon really each and every one of these stanzas, the wonderful thing talking about these things from the heart. I will hide it in my heart. I will be living it out in my life. I will be treasuring the word of God in my heart. My concern is that I obey the commandments and I don't want to wander from the commandments of the Lord. Instead of seeing how close I can get to the line and see here, you know, where's the line? Well, the Lord has told us where the line is. As you think about abiding the doctrine of Christ, abiding in the doctrine of Christ, or adding to or taking away from the Word of God, whether by thought or word or deed, that it never may depart. Here we have the Word of God, where Jesus had said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds of the mouth of God." And He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." Aren't you thankful for that? As we look upon our lives, will we allow it to rule there alone? There alone what? Concerning our heart? Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. In Colossians 3, verse 14 through 17, the Apostle Paul said by inspiration, he said, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." As you think about ruling in our hearts, we allow it to rule. We think about concerning the desire just to rebel, to kind of go against the established, go against authority, and that's what makes me feel good. Well, no, we recognize that's not pleasing to God. And being selfish and being unruly, we've learned through the love of Christ that we're going to put away those sins, and we're going to live for Him and allow Him to rule in our hearts and be thankful. As we think about hymns like this concerning the love of God, we can sing it with joy in anticipation of that future glory in heaven. So will we allow it to rule there alone? We hope and pray that each and every one will. Since the Son of God came down with His love our lives to crown, He with us would remain. Greater love there could not be. Jesus died for you and me. In our hearts, He would reign. In James chapter 1, a scripture that Brett referenced this morning, in James 1, in verse 12, the scripture says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to who? To those who love Him." Really, we love Him because He first loved us, as we think about 1 John chapter 4. And so His love, our lives to crown. Here is the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. What about those who love Him? Each and every one of us is persevering under trial. We don't want to give up. We don't want to quit. The Lord didn't quit. The Lord didn't give up on us. We still have His word. He came down. We can look at Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. As we think about throughout our lives, He has promised what? To be with us always, even to the end of the age. Think about the apostles, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As we think about this promise of love, that we can persevere under the trial. We can be approved by God. As we studied with Brett this morning, as you talk about concerning this persevering under trial and learning through those examples to have our faith grow, that we grow spiritually as a result of our trials, and that we don't get angry and lash out, recognizing here the Lord is going to be with us. He's going to help us to endure through whatever we face. Is there any greater love than the Lord has demonstrated to us? In John 15, we look at the disciples, and it took them quite a while to understand it wasn't about them. It wasn't about desiring that power on his left or right hand. As you think about concerning his love for them and that demonstration of love. In John 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Greater love. For Jesus died for you and me. Has that become just trite to us as we think about our everyday lives? It shouldn't. It should be so precious to us that by the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Well, we think about that application. Jesus died for you and me. Take that to heart. As you think about in our hearts, he would reign. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we think about this passage of scripture here. And all right, I wrote the wrong one down. Sorry. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Apologize for that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. As the Apostle Paul in this context, as he was suffering hardship as a criminal, in verse 9, he said, the word of God is not in prison. He said, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. As you think about our hearts reigning, that we learn to trust and obey him all the days of our life, that we have the provision of the forgiveness of sins, that if we practice righteousness, we have fellowship with God and with one another, walking in the light. In our hearts, he would reign. He who gave his love to me that I might from sin be free bids me share it today. As I love you, he has said, you must serve me in my stead as you go on your way. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. As you think about concerning the sins and of the flesh, as he continues on in verse 3, he said, immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. When we think about the fact that we were enslaved in our sins, and it is hard to imagine. And to think about as we read the Word of God and we read about them being in Egyptian bondage for hundreds of years, and we think about that we as Americans, we haven't been in bondage to anybody. And we remember a period of time that the Jews were afraid they weren't under captivity. And then they had to go into captivity. because of their sins. And here we think about when we are enslaved in our sins. And we wonder concerning how are we going to be free. You think of how many individuals are enslaved and have no realization concerning there is hope for them. I recognize that people love to sin, and some people entrapped. In John chapter 8, as Jesus is speaking to those Jews who had believed in him, he said, "If you continue my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." Verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" I mean, you talk to individuals today concerning that you want to be free. You want to be free from sin. No, as you think about that, you know, that book you call the Bible, God doesn't want me to have any fun. He doesn't want me to have any pleasure. He doesn't want to have any enjoyment. Basically, this book would enslave me. Why? But why are they saying that? Because they're fleshly minded. As you think about these Jews, they are fleshly minded, and they said, "We haven't ever been enslaved. How you say you will become free?" We have to have the right perspective and understanding concerning what Jesus said, because truth is very precious. It's not very precious to many people, but it should be to each and every one of us. The truth will make you free. "How is it that you say you'll become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you that everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." And that was the Lord's aim and goal, desire to be free, to help them to be free from sin. And what were they interested in? What was the next thing that they said? Jesus said, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." They were seeking to kill Jesus. They weren't interested in being free from sin, but he wanted them to be saved, even though they were trying to kill him. So as you look upon us being free from sin, what does he bid us to do? Well, he wants us to share it. When? Tomorrow? Next month? The next year? No, today. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 through 26. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24 through 26. "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth." Verse 26. "And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." We're reminded of the prodigal son who finally came to his senses. He recognized concerning that he was in the pig pen of sin by his own doing, desired his father's inheritance. His father let him go out, and he wasted all of his inheritance. We think about it as a father, you know, our son waste all of our inheritance. That's going to be very difficult, as we think about personally, from a personal standpoint. And we think about we have wasted what he has brought to us, being created in the image of God and for his purpose to glorify and honor him. And we have wasted it with sinful living. And yet we had the opportunity to be saved. And so we share it with others, that we're kind to everybody. We're able to teach them because we want them to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In John 15, in verses 9 and 10, in John 15, verses 9 and 10, this might have been one of the passages that the author was considering. And Jesus, speaking with the disciples, said, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." We see the example of Christ. The Father loved Jesus. Jesus loves them. And here he demonstrates his example toward them. And if you keep my commandments, I will abide with you. You abide in my love. In Matthew chapter 20, again, Jesus is speaking with his disciples. In John chapter 20, 25, here is a place where they're upset with each other, the ten, and were indignant with the two brothers desiring that power on the right and left hand. And Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them." We see that all over the world as far as dictators telling people what to do. We live in a free country. We might think things are bad with impeachment going on. But the whole thing is you look upon the way societies are in this world and the way the Gentiles ruling with an iron fist. Well, you aren't to be like that. Verse 26, "It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be what? Shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That should humble every one of us. How do you want to be great? A lot of people want to be great. They want to get their 15 minutes of fame. And then what? It's not going to last. It's only temporary. As you think about concerning Jesus and calling out his disciples to be servants as he was. He was willing to give his life a ransom for many. And we see the apostles willing to give up their lives for Christ. To go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As you go on your way, as in serving the Lord and saving souls and strengthening the churches to do his will, to encourage one another towards love and towards good deeds. While his love burns true and bright, we are walking in the light. He has shown us the road. We his glory must reflect, lest our dimness and neglect keep some soul from its God. Many times talks in the scriptures about Jesus being the light of the world. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." In John 9 and verse 5, he said, "While I am the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus is the light of the world. And he who follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John chapter 12, in verse 35, Jesus said, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. But he who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." As you think about concerning his love and really light, as you think about these expressions of truth here, and here we see how we are to walk. We see how we are to live. Those who are wicked are going to walk in the darkness. And this is where the devil is going to be very deceptive. As we studied this morning in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ." We hopefully are walking in the light as he is in the light. Here as we think about the road to heaven, Jesus has shown us the way, the road to heaven. In John chapter 4, 14, Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, We do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? We think about concerning Jesus showing the way. Jesus spoke every single word the Father desired. That we know, we have it written down for us. We think about going back to John 12, verse 49 and 50. Jesus said, I did not speak of my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Yes, God will keep his promises. He will be faithful. He has shown us the road. Yes, it's a narrow road that leads to life, and there are few that be that find it. But we are going to be zealous to follow the road. Jesus is the truth. There is no other truth. There is no other way that leads to heaven. There aren't many roads that lead to heaven. So as you look upon our lives, we must reflect his glory. Must we not? Yes, of course we must. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. Will we neglect that responsibility? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2 and verse 3. Because of our dimness and neglect, some poor precious soul that maybe knew that you're a Christian and they're following you, and here we neglect our responsibilities and we're a stumbling block to them, and they fall too. And how sad and how tragic that would be. Yes, we recognize as we look upon our lives, sometimes we don't realize how important our example is, especially when things aren't going well, as they generally haven't gone this year, as our brother Jeff had prayed concerning all the difficult circumstances and trials and suffering and cancer that has been suffered this year. Let us reflect his glory in our lives, that we might glorify our Father who is in heaven. And the refrain, the love of God within the heart will kindliness and warmth impart. The soul will glow like Jesus in his tender mercy. If the heart is made his dwelling place, the love of God glows like a flame. Through endless years it is the same. The love of God will never fail nor lose its glory till we see him face to face. The love of God within the heart. This is where it all begins. Been studying the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus. All the wonderful things that they had done, all the good deeds that they had done, all the false teachers that they had exposed, standing up for the truth of God's word. But was the love of God within their heart? No, he said they've lost their first love. The greatest commandment is that. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. You will love your neighbor as yourself. As we see concerning Jesus and his teaching of the disciples in John 13 and verse 34, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. That love that Jesus had shown them to demonstrate that love for one another. We see after the day of Pentecost, we see the love that they had for one another and being united in the truth of God's word, and that kindness and warmth that we should have for one another in Ephesians 4, in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's notice the contrast here. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. The wonderful blessing as you think about us obeying his word, and it's from the heart, and we love one another. We're glorifying, honoring our God. What a great blessing it is to have unity, no matter how small we might be. In James chapter 5, as we reflect upon the suffering of Job, In James chapter 5, in James chapter 5, in verse 11, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. When we think about our love for one another and to be able to see the compassion of the Lord in the thoughts and words and deeds and kindness done to those who are suffering, and reflect upon that we are demonstrating the mercy of the Lord that He has shown towards us. You look at the example of Job and all that he suffered through. And what is it that matters? Not that all the terrible things that he suffered through, but the fact that in the end, the Lord was full of compassion and is merciful. Have you received that joy? The soul will glow like Jesus in His tender mercy. The Lord's been merciful towards each and every one of us. In Ephesians chapter 3, as our author has demonstrated in these stanzas concerning our hearts, in Ephesians chapter 3, as the Apostle Paul is praying for the brethren, he prays that their Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We talk about being filled up with so many things that might make us happy concerning this life. Now, maybe it's wonderful. Hey, we got a job promotion. A brother or sister in Christ is getting married. Somebody's having a baby or a grandbaby. Somebody has received a good news, and that's wonderful to be filled up with joy. But you think about the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and be able to comprehend concerning Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And here, our heart is made His dwelling place. What He says goes, because He knows what's best for me. In Ezekiel, as you think about in that vision, this is one of the passages I thought of concerning the love of God glows like a flame. In Ezekiel, as the word of the Lord comes to him in Ezekiel 1 and verse 4, he said, "As I looked, behold, the storm wind was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually in a bright light around it. And it is midst something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire." Down in verse 27, he said, "I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around with it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire. And there was a radiance around him as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking." You think about that vision and God wanting us to have this picture. And you think about the love of God glows like a flame. And the wonderful thing is, it's never going to change. You know, people change. We all have our ups and downs. But we look upon the love of God, it's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we hang our hat on that? And that the love of God will never fail nor lose its glory. We can just leave that phrase right there, for love never fails. The love of God will never fail nor lose its glory. And we think about the opportunity to be with Him in heaven forever. Isn't that your aim and goal and desire? If not, you need to obey the gospel of Christ tonight. If you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, or you need to be restored, God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.